Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to America's Great Loop Cruisers Association's weekly blog radio show, brought to you every week by AGLCA and our Admiral sponsors, Curtis Stokes and Associates, Dog River Marina and Boat Works, Dozier's Regatta Point Yachting Center, Dozier's Waterway Guide, and Skipper Bob Publications. For all those non-members listening, the Great Loop is the continuous waterway that includes the eastern portion of North America, including the Atlantic and Gulf intercoastal waterways, the Great Lakes, the Canadian Heritage Canals, and the inland rivers of America's heartland. Our website is www.greatloop.org, and we'd love to have you join our organization. I'm Beth McHugh, and I'm filling in for Janice Cromer, and I'm joined today by Joanne Smith, our Sponsor Services Coordinator. Say hi, Joanne. Where'd you go?
Hi there. Hi there.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And our guest host this week is Carrie Wiener, President of Pantanius America Limited. Pantanius America, an AGLCA commander sponsor, offers a wide range of yacht insurance services. Carrie has been president since 2008, and today he'll talk about everything you wanted to know about your yacht insurance policy but didn't know who to ask. Good morning, Carrie. Thanks for being here.
Good morning. It's a real pleasure, and it's especially nice to be able to talk to the listeners. The Loop members are really a fantastic group. I try to meet them as often as I can, and it's really nice to be able to impart some information to them.
Well, we appreciate it, and we want our listeners to know if you have any questions or comments, you can call 877-497-1815, and Carrie will be glad to answer your questions. Okay, why don't we get started?
Well, insurance, especially yacht insurance, is a very interesting and huge topic, and it really affects every yacht owner, especially when they have a claim. And that's when, you know, they really get to test whether or not they made the right decision in purchasing the policy that they did. And the best time to run a test is before you buy the policy to see if, after reviewing the policy terms, if that policy is going to suit your needs, what you expect to get from that policy when there's a loss or a claim. And hopefully after today's talk, you'll have a little bit of a better idea of what questions to ask. And I always think it's best to start with really a general understanding of how yacht insurance works, how the industry works, and that gives you a sort of a playing field to understanding what your choices are. First of all, we talk about yacht policies, and by definition, a yacht is any vessel 27 feet or longer. If your vessel is shorter than 27 feet, then we're talking about a boat, and we're talking about boat policies. And the main difference in the types of policies is that usually, as a general statement, yacht policies provide more coverage and not necessarily at a more expensive rate or premium, but the servicing of yacht insurance companies generally are very good, and the people dealing in yacht insurance are more knowledgeable usually than those dealing with boat policies. Why? Because boat policies quite often are affiliated with automobile policies, homeowner policies. And the yacht policy is usually handled by specialists in the field. So what is yacht insurance? Well, yacht insurance is a contract, a written contract between two parties. And the two parties would be the insurance company and the owner of the vessel. And everyone has heard of insurance agents or brokers. I think that's important to understand who they are or what they are. And an insurance agent, even if they're an independent agent, represents the insurance company. An independent agent means that they can represent more than one insurance company. But what knowledge the agent has, that knowledge is imputed to the insurance company. Then there is another term called an insurance broker. Those insurance brokers, they are not agents of the insurance companies, but in fact they become agents of the insured, the client. So knowledge of the insurance broker is not knowledge to the insurance company. And why that's important? When you tell your insurance agent something, the insurance company is bound as if they have received that information, even though it wasn't transmitted to them. When a client tells their broker something and that broker doesn't communicate to the insurance company, then the insurance company is not charged with knowing it. Why is the distinction between agent and broker so important? Well, an agent has to be appointed by an insurance company or more than one insurance company. Their commission is fixed by that agreement. And when you go to an insurance agent and ask them to find you insurance, they may be limited to only those appointments that they have received. And so they may not be able to canvass the entire market to get you the best quote or the best policy for your needs. So it may be necessary to go to more than one agent. It's necessary to ask the agent, who are you going to get quotes? And if you want quotes from other insurance companies, you have to ask the agent, are you able to get a quote from me? And if not, why? And that may be a reason why you need to go to more than one agent or a different agent.
I had no idea there was so much difference between an agent and a broker.
There's a tremendous
yeah.
difference. And most agents in the world today are concerned with getting the client the best coverage, but commissions that the agents receive from different insurance companies vary. And so it is not uncommon for an insurance agent, although it's improper, but it's not uncommon for an insurance agent to be biased by the commission that they receive. And so the client has to be careful that if they know that they want a quote from a certain product, a certain insurance company, they really need to specify that with their agent or broker, because agents, like brokers, are paid by commission. In some states, agents can add an additional fee that the client has to pay, and it's legal, but it's certainly that fee is a negotiable amount because that's being paid directly by – the fee is being paid directly by the client, whereas the commission is being paid by the insurance company. Now, just so that the listeners aren't confused, when an insurance company offers a product, a policy, or a quotation, by law, they have to charge an amount, no matter if they're going through a broker or an agent or directly to the client. So there is no savings if they go to an insurance company directly, those insurance companies that will take business directly. But the fees can be added on, and those fees are fees that the agent adds on, not the insurance company, and that can make a difference. So now you sort of understand the different players involved. Then there are basically two types of insurance companies in this. There are many types of insurance companies, but for the listeners, for our listeners' point of view, there are two basic insurance companies. One are insurance companies that are licensed in the United States. Most of the big insurance companies, the names that we always hear about in yacht insurance, they are probably licensed in each of the 50 states. But then the other set of insurance companies are those offshore companies, those companies doing business out of the United Kingdom, out of any of the British Islands. While those they may be equally competent. The difference is that their policies are not protected. If they're not licensed in the United States, it's legal for them to do business here because of it's maritime, and maritime is a maritime insurance. You're allowed to do business here, but they're not protected by the individual state insurance funds, which guarantee the solvency of the insurance companies. So if an American insurance company goes bankrupt or runs into financial difficulties, the state in which they're licensed will have funds to protect the consumer. With what's called surplus lines or companies outside the United States, not licensed in the United States, while it's perfectly legal for them to sell policies here in the United States, they are not protected by the insurance funds. So that's the key to the difference is whether or not you want the protection of an insurance of the insurance departments here, or whether you're willing to run the limited risk of dealing with an insurance company outside of the United States. Okay, now an insurance policy is really a written contract, as I said before, between the insurance company and the client. The phrase named insured is the client, and that name insured should always be the registered owner of the vessel. So if the vessel is registered in a corporate name, that is the name that should be used for the insurance policy. If it's in a family, if it's in a personal name, we use the personal name. If there's a husband and wife or several people who own the yacht, then those names should also be listed as named insured. Why? Because when you read through an insurance policy, only the named insured can change certain terms. Only the named insured has certain rights and obligations. And so you want to make sure you have the accurate name. When buying a boat, you can get a quote in your personal name because you may not have set up the corporate name yet, but make sure that as soon as you've changed the name or you know of the name, you advise the insurance company of what the name change should be. The insurance policy in this country I would say 95% of the time covers two risks. The risk of property damage, that's damage to the yacht, and its equipment, its machinery, personal effects, the contents. And the other aspect of a yacht policy is liability. That is, is to reimburse the owner and to provide coverage or protection against claims made by third parties against the owner. If the owner, if his yacht becomes loose at a mooring and floats into other boats causing damage and those other boats are seeking damages, it is the liability side of your insurance policy that will protect you. You want to make sure, depending on your net worth, that you have enough liability coverage, because let's say you purchase $1 million worth of liability coverage and the damage is greater than $1 million, meaning the registered owner of the vessel, will be responsible if the court finds liability in excess of your liability policy. There's also the dilemma, if you think that you need only a little bit of protection, what will happen is in a very large lawsuit and liability, if you have very low limits, let's say $500,000, and the policy and the exposure is, let's say, $3 million or $2 million, the insurance company will say to you, here is the proceeds of the liability policy. Here's the $500,000. You are on your own to defend and protect yourself for the balance. And depending on how you've insulated yourself for liability vis-a-vis the owner of the vessel and your other personal assets, you may be defending a lawsuit and the insurance company will not be there to support you once they've paid out the proceeds or the limits of the policy. So liability is not very expensive. It's not. It's something that you need to look at your limits. Some homeowners think that they have, not that they think, they have umbrella policies, but I would guess that 75% of the umbrella policies exclude coverage for yachts 27 feet and longer. They will maybe provide coverage for boats under 27 feet, but not for 27 and above. So if you have an umbrella coverage and you're relying on that, make sure that yachts are included and make sure that the underlying limit, sometimes they will say that you must carry $1 million of coverage under your umbrella policy. Make sure that your umbrella policy matches with your yacht insurance. Every insurance policy, every yacht insurance policy is different. It's different in the way it looks. It's different in its wording. It's different in its coverage. There is no standard yacht insurance policy in the market. And that has a pro, you know, a positive side to it and a negative side. The negative side is that you really have to read your policy. You have to read the competitor's policy. And a policy that is good for you may not be good for your neighbor in the marina because they may have different exposures, different needs, different navigations. And so there may be, you know, a reason why one policy is better for one and not the other. Some insurance companies will not insure vessels over a certain age. Others will. Others require a paid captain for a certain size vessels. Others will. Others won't. So there is no perfect policy for every single owner, and that's why you really have to take time to read the policy, to ask questions, to posit test claims to see whether or not, you know, based on what you think your likely claim would be, how the policy would respond. And every agent or broker or insurance company should be willing to answer questions, what if? What if this happens? How would my policy respond? And those are, you know, it's a fair dialogue to have with your insurance expert, whoever that person he or she is. When reading the policies, most U.S. premier insurance policies will be considered all-risk policies. That means that they cover all risk of fortuitous claims. Fortuitous means that it's not expected, it can't be planned for, it can't be avoided. And then every single American insurance policy, once they say we would cover everything, then they go to what we don't cover, what the exceptions that are not covered. And that's where insurance policies really differ in the how they limit what is the exception, what exceptions they have. And again, certain exceptions will appeal to certain people, meaning they're not concerned about it. Other exceptions will really be a problem for certain clients, and then they should seek either other insurance companies or they should see if there are other options available, whether their underwriter, their insurance company is willing to modify the policy in writing, always in writing, whether they're willing to modify it, or it may be that you're misreading the exclusion and that, in fact, what you think is excluded might be covered. But remember, everything, what governs the insurance contract is what is in writing. And so what is said to you verbally over the phone is not binding, and therefore if you have a real question and you want to know, have an answer you can rely on, make sure it's put into the policy, not just an email, because all policies will say, other than what is in the policy and its declarations and its amendments and its endorsements, nothing else matters. So if you think you've agreed to something, you know, to waive a certain exclusion, they need to endorse or modify or amend the policy in some form or fashion.
Okay. Carrie, can I interrupt you for 1 second?
You sure can.
Okay. We need to run a commercial. It's from Saunders Yacht Works, and it'll be about 60 seconds.
With its beginnings in marine diesel engine service more than 50 years ago, Saunders Yacht Works has evolved its focus into the yachting industry and now operates 2 full-service boat yards in coastal Alabama. Saunders specializes in propulsion engine repowers, interior remodels, and overall vessel refits. The company's skilled employee group ranges from certified diesel service technicians to master craftsmen in marine carpentry, paint, and fiberglass. Customer service representatives at the Gulf Shores and Orange Beach locations are ready to help with any questions or service needs. Call 251-981-3700 or visit saundersyacht.com. Saunders Yacht is a proud Commander sponsor of AGLCA.
Okay, move back.
Great. I trust you can hear me.
I can hear you.
Okay, great. All right. So we talked about liability. We talked about hull coverage. And I think I would like to talk briefly about something called implied warranties of seaworthiness, because I think that this is one of the greatest unknown facts that clients are never told about. It's in virtually almost every insurance policy, but there are exceptions. And it's called the implied warranty of seaworthiness. And the word implied means that it's implied by law. It means that the courts will enforce this promise. A warranty is a promise. They'll enforce this promise even though the promise is not written in the insurance company. The promise is that at the beginning of the insurance policy, that the yacht is in fact seaworthy. Now, seaworthiness is a magic word in the maritime legal industry. It means that the vessel is fit for its intended use. It is a factual premise, meaning it doesn't matter whether the owner knows about the condition. It doesn't matter if the owner could not have prevented the condition. It is just the mere fact that the vessel on the first day of the policy was lacking in something that was critical. The courts have found, for example, that a lack of a bilge pump or other tools or equipment rendered or made the vessel unseaworthy, or a defective gear that was some type of equipment that was not working, that could be an unseaworthy condition. Broken hand tools and other instruments in a state of disrepair, that would render a vessel unseaworthy. Insufficient crewing, manpower to handle a certain size vessel, that could mean that the vessel was unseaworthy. It's called, for lack of crew, the vessel is in fact unseaworthy. Untrained crew members, if you don't have the proper training or experience with a certain size yacht, that could be deemed an unseaworthy vessel. And unsafe, you know, methods that you have adopted, that could be deemed by the courts as an unseaworthy vessel because the crew or the owners are improperly trained. Now, what happens? You have this warranty, a promise, and the owner, without saying a single word or a written statement, is implying in law, is promising in law, that when that insurance policy attaches, the vessel is fit and seaworthy. What happens 3 months after the policy attaches, and the insurance company discovers, and depending on the size of the claim, the larger the claim, the more they will want to discover. They will discover that, in fact, the vessel was unseaworthy. There was a crack in the hull, let's say, in the bow. But the claim has nothing to do with the crack in the hull. They are able to raise, not as a defense to the claim, but they are able to say that the vessel was not seaworthy on the first day of policy. Therefore, had they known that the crack was there, they would not have underwritten, they would have not insured the yacht. Therefore, they're avoiding the policy, returning your premium as if the insurance never existed. They don't have to deny the claim. The claim need not be have a relationship to the unseaworthy condition because they are not attacking the claim. They're attacking the seaworthiness of the vessel on the first day of the policy. Now,
so it could virtually be something that the owner isn't even aware of that makes it unseaworthy, and then something happens and
totally
boom,
it is a status test. The vessel is either seaworthy or not seaworthy, and it has nothing to do with knowledge, care, or diligence of the owner. It's very scary. The insurance companies use it as a sword periodically. It's not like it's never been used. It is not very often used because it is rather drastic, but it is used often enough. The more serious the claim, the more pressure there is to invoke that argument if it's justified. Now, because it's implied in law, you will not see it written into an insurance contract that there is this promise. The only way that it can be avoided, this implied promise, is if the insurance contract actually states that there are no implied warranties. So only when the court sees that the insurance company expressly states in the policy that there are no implied warranties, only then will the court say they will not apply the implied warranty. They will not apply the promise that the vessel is seaworthy. And so you need to look in your insurance contracts to see if there's anything that – you'll never see anything saying it is subject to an implied warranty, but you will – if you look carefully enough, certain insurance contracts will say there are no implied warranties. And that is the only way to avoid this horrific and often called by the courts as drastic remedy and to avoid paying a claim. The reason, the historical reason for it, you need to know, is because in the old days of sailing vessels, the owners were ashore in their coffee house, and they were insuring their vessel or their cargo, and they had no way of knowing whether the vessel was still afloat or not because of lack of communication. So the law allowed a way for them to for insurance companies to sell insurance to these owners, but it was based on the implied promise that the vessel was seaworthy because it was impossible to inspect the vessel. So that's a key issue that everyone needs to know about. The other
is
thing
that
I want to jump. Go ahead.
Is that something that you could ask for that most insurance companies would put in, or is it would they say no?
No,
we won't put that in.
Most insurance companies will say no because it is totally rewriting their model and their basis for providing insurance. Other insurance companies have grown up historically not with that tradition of implied warranties, and they have written into their contracts that there are no implied warranties. It's a matter of culture and history, but no insurance company that has implied warranties will be willing to exclude, will be willing to write in that there are no implied warranties because too many of their other clauses are dependent upon that assumption or presumption.
Oh, okay.
So, okay. Right. So I like to look at exclusions, and I'm jumping quite a bit, but it's the exclusions where they're taking away from what's included in the all-risk policy. The biggest one is wear and tear, because wear and tear are items that are expected to wear out. When you have tires on your car, you expect that over a certain mileage, those tires will lose their useful life, and that's deemed wear and tear. So on virtually all yacht insurance policies, wear and tear is an excluded item. Where there's a big difference on wear and tear is many insurance companies will say any and all losses arising out of wear and tear are excluded. That means that if something in your engine due to wear and tear fails, the yacht is floating without power, you run aground and you damage your hull, because any and all damages arising out of wear and tear are excluded, they will not pay for the machinery, they will not pay for the hull damage. So basically you become uninsured. Other policies, and there are few and far between, but other policies will say, we won't pay for the repair of the machinery, but we will pay for what's called consequential damage. If, in fact, as a result of the wear and tear, the vessel is damaged in other ways, the insurance company will provide coverage for the grounding. And that's very important because for want of wear and tear of an item that may have been overlooked, you could have very serious consequences, and with many insurance companies, those serious consequences are not covered, and with some, they are. And to put it into an automobile parlance, when your tire fails due to wear and tear, but you then run in, you know, to a tree, if any and all damages are excluded, they will not pay for the tire or the damage caused by the tree, but with certain and few yacht insurance policies, they will cover the damage caused by the running into the tree. Latent defects. Many insurance companies exclude damage caused by latent defects. Others included, and there are some that exclude coverage for latent defects, but include consequential damage caused by latent defects. A latent defect is something that goes wrong that is not expected. It could not have been foreseen or surveyed by a prudent surveyor or owner. It is something that happens prematurely and sort of is the exception to wear and tear. Some policies, latent defects have to be specifically added because a latent defect is not fortuitous. Meaning if something was molded with a defect, it's not fortuitous that it goes wrong because the defect was there. So it is in an all-risk policy does not include latent defects. You need to see a clause that says that in addition to all risk, you also are covered for latent defects. Or in addition to all risk, you are covered for consequential damage from latent defects, but latent defects themselves, the defective part, is not covered. I'm jumping because I realize I'm running out of time soon, but
yeah.
You want to make sure that if you have paid crew and you pay them in any way, maybe someone who works for your home but then comes and does some chores on your yacht, you want to make sure that you have paid crew coverage because they could be deemed a crew member, and all insurance policies exclude paid crew, but that's something you can buy back.
Okay.
Any questions? Any thoughts?
I don't have any. Joanne, are you there? Yeah, I am. Yeah. No, thanks, Carrie. This was great. I don't have any other questions.
So I just want to close by saying no policy is the same. Read your policy, ask questions, and make sure before you have a claim that you have an understanding of how a claim will be treated based on the clauses in your policy. And it's been a real pleasure. I'll be at the rendezvous in Norfolk, and I look forward to meeting all your members.
Well, that's great. I'm sure that they'll be happy to meet you. And do you want to give us your website address before you close if people want to take a look at what Pantaneous America is all about?
I would be delighted. It's www.pantaneous.com. And you'll find that, you'll find all the information about the company there. It's been in existence for well over 40 years, and all we do is yacht insurance.
Okay. Well, thanks again for doing this, and it was very interesting, and hope to see you in Norfolk.
Great. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.